I am here at the 2014 Cattle Industry Convention in Denver, Colorado, and I'm sitting here with some of the Environmental Sustainability Award Program families that were awarded last night during a reception, and they are regional winners, and they'll be qualify for the national ESAP award coming later down the line this year. So first of all, let me have you guys introduce yourselves.
I'm Guido Frazzini from True Grass Farms in Valley Forge, California.
And I'm Alyssa Donovan.
Well, tell me a little bit about your guys' operation and what has allowed you to qualify for this cool honor.
We are a 1,400-acre operation 2 miles from the coast in the Pacific, an hour and a half north of San Francisco. We have a huge clientele base that is very interested in where their food comes from. We started transitioning to our full-blood Wagyu herd, and that we cross with Angus mothers. We finish our 50% steers at 24, 26 months and distribute everything locally. What that helped us was engage with the community to try to find a support and also show a transparency to bring people on to the ranch. So we started with farm tours. So we brought over 2,000 people last year up to the ranch to show how food is produced. There's a lot of stigma in California, especially on the beef front. So for us to show that it's possible to raise beef in a way that is environmentally sound, actually using cattle as a tool for ecosystem management, for carbon sequestration, gets people actually very excited. We've converted vegetarians. We've had vegans come up, actually, to the ranch and be okay with our practices and more understanding of how the industry works. So we've been, I feel, as a portal. We're certified organic. We're small niche. We're a family operation. The ranch has been a family since 1867. And we feel that this is a way to show that profitability cannot just be economical, it has to be also ecological. There are two assets that are complementary, and I think we forget that on occasion when we only think on one generation. But this agriculture and food production has to go beyond just one generation. You have to think multiple generations. Like, what are we passing on? We have to improve. It's paramount to improve the soil. And as stewards of the land, and we can all be stewards of the land, we need to be able to give back and remember that we have to give back in our lifetime. It's one of our greatest achievements if we can give back and pass something better on to the next generation. And that food production is not just human food production. We have to feed our soils first and foremost, to then be able to grow grass, to then be able to convert that grass into proteins that we can all eat.
That is a really cool operation that you guys have going on there, and to really fill that niche market and that's that is growing nationwide, but specifically in your area, to where the urban areas are really focusing on local, and that is something that you guys have hit. You talked about your farm tours, but kind of hit a little bit more on your distribution and how you're getting your product out there to those consumers so you can help share your story with them.
We found that word of mouth still to this day works better than Facebook or Twitter or the internet, and when you have one positive comment and it starts exploding. So having people really seeing the process, even though we have a third-party verifier, there's nothing like the consumer itself seeing where their product comes from. The more transparency there is, the more they understand how their food is being grown or raised, the more there is just this tremendous support throughout. An example I'm giving is our local slaughter plant closed, and there was a blanket recall. This was Rancho in Petaluma. And there was a whole year blanket recall. This has not happened in the United States in many years. That's our slaughter plant. That's where we go. This was happening with our coal animals, not with our custom. And we're their custom. And our customers called because it was in the main, it was a front page in the newspaper in San Francisco. And everybody called, not that concerned, because they know that we eat our beef. They eat our beef. And it was all eaten. Every week it's fresh. And it was all gone. So when the recall came about, it was already consumed. But they weren't affected. They weren't, like, they know it's safe. So we're providing a product that people already know is safe, is environmentally sound. They know it's nutritious. So there's multiple connections. And the more connections you have with your food, it's harder to break it and point a finger saying that's bad. So that's how we're trying to change how we're producing food. So it's in a way sustainable in the sense where it can be repeated over and over and over again. And when you have some kind of like climatic catastrophe, like climate change or a drought, or even as a slaughter plant closing down, your customer base is going to still support you and still believe and eat beef.
Well, what advice do you have for producers potentially across the country who are looking to become a little bit more environmentally sustainable? What, you know, tidbits or what things did you guys go through that might help them jump on that same train?
Remembering to sit down and observe nature. Nature has been doing this for much longer than we have, and it's found very good systems. The more we can mimic her way, the more I believe we can move forward in a very sustainable way. Just remembering to sit down and observe, listen to your animals. They know what they need, and love what you eat. Putting love in what we do is what's going to transform the system. And remembering that we have to give back. That is a fundamental part of what we do as stewards, is that we have to give back. We cannot just extrapolate a resource and not give back.
What's next for your guys' operation?
We feel that education is a huge component of the food production, and that is basic recipe, teaching people how to cook, teaching people how to be proud of their local food sources. So beef that you eat in northwestern Marin County, you can only eat there. And beef that you eat in Iowa, you can only eat there. And being proud of that. And the different types of corn that there might be, the different types of grasses that there might be, the seasonality, the breeds. This is very exciting. People want to know more that we have diversity, and diversity is resilient. Resiliency is a key word of what we're striving for, because that's what you see in nature. And also the carbon. Using cattle as a management tool and looking at beef as a byproduct. And actually, our main goal is to sequester carbon that's in the atmosphere at parts per million that are extremely high, and bringing that back and putting carbon back into the soil, having more perennialized system, grazing plants, managing cattle in an intensive way, meaning like rotational, like mimicking how the herds were naturally in the Great Plains, the herds of buffalo, the herds of elk. So using ungulates with the grasses as they used to, having more perennial plants, deeper root systems, being able to rest those periods, arrest the pastures for long periods, and slowly accumulate carbon and then slowly sell the carbon. And if we all could do that, there's 19 million acres of rangeland in California. Just that would able to just revert all California emissions if we were to manage rangeland like that. If each state started managing rangeland responsibly, there's a huge impact that we would have, not just in the United States, but then globally, for how much grazing there is out there. This is just the beginning. So that's very exciting right now. That's what we're working on.
Well, that is a very exciting time. The technology we have at our fingertips to be able to produce more and better and really focus on the end result, not the consumer, that's who is buying our product. Kind of off the topic of environmental sustainability, but you guys in California are facing a huge drought. How has that affected your operation and your surrounding areas?
We drove from California. Nevada is greener than California right now.
Which is rare.
This is my first drought managing the ranch. And because of our management, we had a lot of residual dry matter that helped us. We went back in our pastures and grazed that down a little more. So we still had a thatch layer when the first rains came in March. So we didn't have much runoff. But that's really what buffered us. So it's on management. If you can manage your land through a drought, understanding what your stocking rate is, what your stocking density needs to be during certain times of the year, you can really manage your grassland so you're buffered against any change like that. So it hasn't affected us as much as some of our neighbors that had to take loans out to buy hay during that period. That's one thing that I encourage too, is that a certain time management, the time management that we're doing actually benefits the bottom line, where it's very low input and it's just a matter of buffering. So you don't have those changes. It's not always pushing your land at its maximum, because it cannot continue like that. Because at one point, you'll just not have any grass. The drought will come again, and it's cyclical. So it might not happen for another 10 years. But you can't think you can push it just because the market is so great right now, so you need as many cattle as you want. Unfortunately, it's a trade-off. So it's an investment of time, and that's what we feel. So right now, we're investing time for the payoff to be maybe in 60 years. And maybe we're not the beneficiaries of that. but that's okay. And that's part of a legacy that we want to create. And the experience that we're gathering now is going to be invaluable because I never gained that experience. Nobody told me these stories on what flowers when you should graze these areas, what birds migrate, where they nest. So slowly we're learning and documenting these things to pass them on to the next generation.
Well, that's a really true message that you can embrace in your future generations, your families to come, to really, really treasure the land that we have been given. And that's a cool message. And you have done your research, and congratulations on this amazing honor that you guys have been bestowed on, and good luck when it comes down to nationals. Once again, talking with one of the ESEP families, who was one of the regional winners, who will go on to compete for one of the national awards here at the 2014 Cattle Industry Convention in Denver, Colorado. I'm Jamie Johansson.